May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So one of the great advantages of living with teenagers is you get to keep up with the current slang. So one of my learnings in the last couple of months has been that when my daughter tells me that she's feeling a bit salty about that, it means she's aggravated, irritated, and annoyed. I like that it also seems to carry a sense that it probably is something she should let go, but she's not ready to yet. I've been thinking about my daughter being salty a lot with this week's readings, because as I read Isaiah 58, it sounds to me like God is feeling a bit salty. Like Micah last week, this is an oracle from the prophet who is calling on a people who are being very, very religious and not very just. These are people who have committed to fasting, and apparently they're doing it quite often and quite dramatically. The only problem with this is that the law only requires one fast on the day of Yom Kippur. So all of this fasting seems to be the people of Israel's idea about what they ought to do to get God to do their bidding. God seems thoroughly unimpressed. He didn't ask them to fast, and they seem to be ignoring what he would really like them to be doing. More important than wearing sackcloth and ashes, he suggests, is taking care of your workers. It's fine to be fasting, but you fast and you require everybody else to work. That's not right. What would I rather have than you fasting? God suggests. I'd like you to share your food with those who are hungry. I'd like you to take the homeless into your house. I'd like you to respond to the need you see all around you. Never mind the sackcloth and ashes. Never mind skipping meals. Pay attention to the people around you. Pay attention to what their great needs are. And don't do it quietly. Start out with the trumpets, if that's what it takes to get everyone's attention. Shout to the high heavens. Because the matters of justice, of relationship with one another, are just as important as your relationship with me. Unlike the gods of the ancient world, Isaiah says, who need to be persuaded to act on behalf of the people, Israel's God is already on their side. Israel's God is already ready to act. What Israel's God wants is to be in relationship, in right relationship with his people. And for that to happen, they need to be in right relationship with one another. So the fast is very simple. It is to come immediately to the aid of those in need. One of the theologians I read this week points out that idea of hiding from your kin. First off, most of us probably have family that we might be tempted to hide from, particularly when they call us up to ask if we can help out. But that's not actually what God is talking about. It's a much broader reference of kin. It's all of Israel. Hiding from your kin means pretending certain people don't exist, or more specifically, hoping other people will help the needy so you don't have to. This is the fast that God chooses. This is the religious observance God wants. not the sackcloth and ashes and wailing. But that's what worship should lead us to. When Jesus tells the disciples that they are salt, he means that they are and should be that small community, that small group of people that by their very presence changes the nature of the place and the society they live in. They should be like salt flavoring, sifting through the entire community, the entire way of looking at the world. If you add just a teaspoon of salt to a pot of soup, it changes the flavor. The disciples are salt because by their living together, because by their faithfulness, because by their actions, they will change the character of the society they live in. They are light because they are living in a world where there is a lot of darkness. They are living in a dark and broken world, and they are meant to do what light does. To open it up, to let people see, so that folks know that God is there and what God requires of them. They are a city on a hill because they're not meant to do this quietly and hidden. They are meant to be visible because how else can they show the world what it is that God has called us to? As one commentator put it, if you were thinking religion is about private devotion, this week's readings will pretty much put the stake through the heart of that one. For Israel, for us, religion is not simply a private matter. It is not simply coming to worship on Sunday morning, saying prayers and making offerings, and then going about our business undisturbed by the darkness of the world, undisturbed by the injustices we might encounter. It is not mean offering our prayers and then going about our business hoping somebody else will take care of the needy, will stand up to injustice, will welcome the stranger and come to the aid of the oppressed. For the ancient Israelites, worship was supposed to help them get into right relationship with one another, and that would change how they lived. That's what Jesus is calling the disciples to as well. Being a community of faith on a mission. On a mission to change the flavor of the society they lived in. To shine light into dark places. To be, to stand up on the hill and bear witness to the new creation that God has initiated. And we can't do that quietly. Play the trumpet, shout it out. We might have to get a little bit salty. Because you know what? It takes a little bit of being salty when we confront injustice and the things left undone to empower us and get us moving. We might need, when we are confronted by injustice, when we are confronted by the things that everything around us is dark and not right, we might need to get a little salty. Just like God got with the Israelites. Because being light and salt means that we share with those who have not yet fully lived into the good news, our realization that God is calling us to not just worship, not just repentance, but right relationship with God and with one another, with those within our communities and those outside of it and those so very far away who are hurting and lost and suffering, who need the light of Christ, who need some salt to heal wounds, who need the promise of a city on a hill to call home. We're probably going to have to be a little bit salty. We're probably going to have to be a little bit brave and a little courageous. Because we're not going to be able to do this quietly. We're going to have to stand up, shout, blow the trumpet. Because our gathering today, our worship, is inviting us into changing the world. Amen.